Chapter 44. Lysander. Grapes and Iron. Kalaki is about the size of a small coin in the hollow displays that surround the command triangle. Behind it, Jupiter looms. Its myriad moons twinkle, many still distant. Aya, our eventual destination, where we will smash far, is 4 days ghost sailing away. It is on the far side of the gas giant for now. Diomedes smiles when the blue pilot, a girl of maybe 12, murmurs, "Dominus, we are receiving a hail from Consul Lux. Passing to comms. Shroud requested." The bridge crew hum like happy bees at the news and at the first sighting of enemy debris. It makes me wish I was aboard the Lightbringer. My fleet is now 4 weeks behind the rims. Disappointing. I spoke to Cicero and Pytha yesterday. The crossing of the gulf that yawns between the belt and the moons of Jupiter is taking longer than expected due to fluctuations in the reactor. I fear the Lightbringer won't contribute to the conflict at all. As the shroud enfolds the command triangle in the wall of darkness, a hologram glows. Helios's hawkish face peers out at us from the bridge of his torchship. "All's foul on the wind arc," Helios says. "But there's joy on the wind if you turn east." Diomedes then gives a 16-digit code. Helios replies with a code of his own. Identity is confirmed. Both relax. Helios has a fresh flash burn on his face, the shape of a hand, and heavy circles under his eyes. His skin hangs loose. He is exhausted from days behind enemy territory.
"Young dragon, you must be jealous. First blood's to me."
Helios grins from behind his clasped mustache.
"You missed quite a hunt, lad. How's my dusty lady?"
"Still in one piece, Consul. Eager to have you back in the Cestus,"
Diomedes replies. Helios's eyes narrow.
"Why is Loon on my bridge?"
"I thought it sent the right message, Consul," Diomedes answers.
Helios pauses, as if to order me off, then reconsiders with a grunt.
"Perhaps you're right. We may yet need his aid purging these vermin. They've infested dozens of moons with outposts. Few serious battalions, but enough to keep the locals miserable and complicate matters further."
"My Praetorians and I are eager for the fight, Consul Lux," I say.
Dido's hologram appears from her bridge aboard her flagship, Dragon Song.
"Helios, we were worried you'd taken your isolationism a step too far," she says without a greeting. "You went dark for longer than planned."
"Intelligence reports underestimated the enemy's strength. They are well equipped. Askamani craft in numbers I've never seen. The Volk are the real danger, though. They've got Republic code-breaking technology, heavy patrol craft to go with their dreadnoughts. And those dreadnoughts are frontline material."
"Where are the rest of your hunting squadron? I only see 3 torchships with you."
"Keeping an eye on Far's main fleet. The 4 Velk dreadnoughts are always with the Pandora. They're his wrecking ball. I want eyes on them at all times."
"What of Sungrave?"
Dido asks, no doubt thinking of her children she left behind in the Ra mountain city.
"Sungrave is besieged, as suspected, but it holds, as does the Garter. Vela is in command. But let's not keep your children waiting any longer than we have to, Dido. Diomedes, begin the contraction to fit the fleet into Kalaki's shadow. I'll be taking the Dustmaker back under my command for the ghost sail. So have your phalanx prepare for transfer. I want them on your destroyer for the battle at Io. Tip of our spear."
Diomedes is happy to hear it. Helios Aulux signs off, and a little weight slides off Diomedes' shoulders. He caresses Binds of Zeus and sighs. He had the Dustmaker, and he didn't slag it up. That's all one can do when you're not Helios Aulux. He catches me staring at him, but offers me a rare smile. "This is it," Still some 30 minutes out from Kaliki, Dido's dragon song orders the armada to contract alongside the dust armada. The dreadnought's belly slides over top the larger dustmaker until barely a kilometer separates the ships of the two consuls. As we slow on our approach to Kaliki, Helios's torch ship and its escorts merge with the combined fleet. His shuttle lands in the hangar bay, and he rides the grav lift up the protected shaft to the bridge. Helios enters through the rhomboid executive door opposite the bank of escape pods. The metal slab seals behind Helios and his bodyguards with a clunk. I'm the only one on the bridge who doesn't salute when Helios limps in with 2 gulls and 4 greys in battered orange and grey phoenix phalanx armour. Helios is hunched from what must be a torso wound. His white Olympic cape is as filthy as his pulse armour. He carries several heavily decorated axes and spears. Diomedes holds his salute until Helios returns it on the command deck and tosses the captured weapons down with a clatter. The master of the ship has returned, and he's brought trophies. "For the battle shrines," Helios growls to Diomedes with a toothy smile. Helios's bald head is filled with new, angry red notches. He spares me a cursory nod. The man may be exhausted and obviously wounded. He walks with a very heavy limp in addition to his hunch, but his energy still crackles. His golds and greys cluster together down below. I recognize the 2 golds from his old guard. War seems to have made them younger, spryer. Of special interest are the Ascomani spears. They are long instruments with hafts of sleek black metal etched with runes. Their black heads are nearly as long as my calf, and made of a different, shinier metal.
"You look frightened, Loon. First black spar you've seen?"
I nod.
"Is that metal oxinium?"
"Found only in the Kuiper. Almost a match for polyene fibre if mixed with carbon. Will slide right through a pulse shield or a hull. Let's get on with it, Diomedes."
Diomedes motions up Zagria, the huge bridge Kidimonas. With the heavily armed woman and 3 veteran dustwalkers behind her supervising the transfer of power, Diomedes faces his mentor.
"Consul Lux, I relinquish Imperium of the Dustmaker. Do you accept her binds?"
"I do, Storm Knight. Thank you for your steady hand."
Diomedes pulls the cestus off his hand and gives a code to a green in the pit. Helios gives a code as well, and the green formally transfers the shipmaster controls to Helios. A blue announces the transfer has been logged in the central chain. Under the guard of 2 gold officers, Helios removes his gauntlet and vambrace to don the cestus. His calloused hand seems eager. Understandable. It's been his command for, what, 40 years? I'd be eager to leave the fragility of a torch ship and once again become the biggest bastard in the Sea of Ilium, too. I miss the Lightbringer more than I thought I would. I stand up from inspecting the spears. As I do, I see something strange. Helios's famous haster, Sunburn, is on his right hip, but on his left is a Kitari with an iron pommel imprinted with the grapes of House Dionysus. I frown. That's odd. Helios's hand slips into the cestus in a strange way. Timidly, then all at once, like a frightened man jumping off a waterfall. Nothing happens for a moment. Helios's eyes burn into the deck. Inside the cestus, needles will be sampling his blood and bone marrow. Homer's words glow on the bands of the cestus to signify it has unlocked. Helios murmurs them.
"I too shall lie in the dust when I am dead. But now let me win noble renown."
Helios looks up at Diomedes.
"It is good to come home."
Diomedes, Zagria, and Dustwalkers salute, along with the crew. I stare at the grapes on the pommel of Helios's Kitari. That is his daughter's weapon. But his daughter's weapon was on the wall of his niche in his office. I glance up at the man, haunted by that second of intense focus and fear as the Cestus tested his DNA. What was that? Diomedes did not notice. His eyes are fixed on Helios's boots. I don't see anything wrong with them, but I feel something wrong with the moment. Helios dismisses Zagria and activates the command triangle's shroud. A curtain of darkness surrounds the command triangle, hiding us from the eyes and ears of the greater bridge. I don't have a weapon. Zagria has mine. I try to get Diomedes' attention.
Zagria, remain, Diomedes says to the Kidemonas before she steps through the shroud.
She stops and her dustwalkers turn back with frowns.
What is the beauty behind the moon? Diomedes asks.
Another code. Rumi, I believe. Helios is annoyed.
Diomedes, we already did that dance. What is the beauty behind the moon?
He repeats. Zagria's hand drifts to the hilt of her Hester. Her dustwalkers begin a slow encirclement of Helios. Helios is amused.
The beauty behind the moon is the moon maker, he replies.
Diomedes nods and relaxes. Then, fast as a viper, he steps into Helios, grabs the cestus, and pulls up Helios's sleeve. For a moment, I don't understand what I'm seeing. Helios's muscular left forearm is buried in the bands of the cestus up to the elbow. His skin is pale till just past the elbow, then the arm changes. The skin is rough and baked tan by the sun. The muscles are ropier, the bone thinner. A perfect pink line separates the two disparate topographies. Zagria and the Dustwalkers draw their blades. It might be Helios's arm in the cestus. It might even be Helios's face smiling at us. But the man now in control of the Dustmaker is not Helios Aulux.